Hello, dear friends in Madison and listening by computer. We're so glad to be able to bring you this Christmas edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. My, the time is passing quickly and we're counting down, not only to another Christmas, brothers and sisters, we're counting down to the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But we're marking time as we look at it from our perspective with another year that's passing, another wonderful holy Christmas to celebrate for the church. And if you're not a Christian today, I want you to listen to this important message that we're going to bring you. It's a Christmas message. It's in theme for the season. And we're going to talk to you today about Christmas from heaven's perspective. We want you to understand what was taking place from God's eternal perspective, not just man's. So we just invite you to stay tuned for this intriguing, interesting, informative message from the Word of God. We're going to bring you a Christmas message from the book of Revelation, chapter 12. Hallelujah. So you don't want to miss this today. We would like to invite you to come to our website. We are so happy to be pastoring here in Tampa and doing the work of an evangelist here in Madison. And wherever this broadcast is reaching you from the North Florida area. We are based in Tampa, Florida. I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God Incorporated here in Tampa, affiliated in good standing with the Independent Assemblies of God International of San Diego, California, and a Fellowship of Independent Ministries Worldwide. And we have been with them since 1974, and I have been pastor of this church for 36 years this January. So we have we've been here a long time, and we're so glad to be reaching out again on radio. This is our third radio ministry in all of those years. So we began on WINQ, Send the Light broadcast for many years, and then on another, I can't even remember the call letters of the second one. I do remember them, WSOL in Tampa for many years, and now here we are on your local hometown station in Madison, WMAF, and it's a privilege to be ministering here on this station, part of the broadcast family with other good ministers and ministries here, and good classic gospel music, classic country music that you just can't get just anywhere anymore. We're proud to be part of the broadcast family of WMAF. And from our house to your house, we wish you a wonderful, spiritually fulfilling Merry Christmas. Praise God. Amen. We've got a message today about Christmas from heaven's perspective, and we want to get into it very quickly. But first, I want to give you our website. If you'll just type in Pastor Robert Venable, V as in Victor, ENABLE. Take you to the Holy Church of God website. Sermons, some of the recent broadcasts on here are there to be downloaded at your leisure and for free with no strings attached whatsoever. Amen. And we would invite you to come to our website. You can also type in THCOG, just those letters on Google, and it will take you to the Holy Church of God in Tampa, Pastor Robert A. Venable. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, with no further ado, we're going to go to this message today, Christmas from heaven's perspective. And we all know what Christmas looks like from our earthly perspective. It's gifts and presents and parties and trees and lights and decorations and feasting, resting, shopping, dropping. Hallelujah. Amen. Even Christians can miss the true spiritual significance of this most holy of Christian celebrations. In the book of Revelation, there is a vision of Christmas and its true spiritual impact from heaven's perspective. Now, don't misunderstand me today. I love gifts and presents and parties and trees and lights and decorations. I love the celebration of this holy day, not just a holiday for Christians as we know holidays, but a holy day. But God, I really believe, wants us to see it not only from Earth's perspective, to get maybe a sentimental feeling when we see the baby in a manger in one of those wonderful displays, but to go beyond that and see it in its true spiritual significance concerning our lostness and God's great plan of salvation and the Savior He sent to save us. Let's read this Christmas from heaven's perspective from Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 1 down through verse 5. Listen to this carefully. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I talked to you last week, I believe it was, about this message and other messages, the message of Christ coming, the message of His soon coming again, being a message that could bring great persecution in China, because it is a message that changes the hearts and the minds of people. And so many people are coming to Christ in China that there was a statement made recently from one of the higher leaders in the hierarchy of politics in China. And this was the statement that was made: "We must kill the baby while he is still in the manger." In other words, stop this Christianizing of our nation, this Christian faith that is affecting the very fiber and core of their culture, because the changed hearts, changed minds, changed lives of so many people, they're looking for a different leader, and they are threatened just like Herod was threatened when he ordered all of the children 2 years old or under to be killed, trying to kill this great deliverer that God sent into this earth. Herod was doing it for political reasons. Satan was stimulating him, making him feel so threatened by the birth of a new king. Satan didn't want to remove a king that could rule an earthly kingdom, but a Savior that could absolutely deliver those prisoners in his prison house of darkness. Hallelujah. So from heaven's perspective, there was a great conflict between the powers of darkness when Jesus was born, and a great wrath against the church, and a great wrath against the woman who would bring forth this man-child. Praise God. I'm not praising God for that wrath, but I'm just praising God because nothing hell had could stop what God intended to be done. That's a great lesson to learn today. When God purposes something, all hell can break loose against it, but all of heaven's resources stand behind it, and God always wins. And because God always wins, and we trust Him for our victory, we always win, even though we are up against a formidable foe in the devil. Amen. I've often said, and said it recently to our congregation, we have a great enemy in Satan, but we have a greater ally in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that's why, even though there's great battles and forces that go to work to stop and quench the light that has been sent into this world, light will always prevail. In fact, we are told to put on the armor of light, to go up against this powerful prince of darkness. Hallelujah. And I don't know if you've ever been in a cave when they flip the lights off to show you true darkness where there is no light at all, but all it takes is the flick of a Bic. Someone has a little lighter. All it takes is one of those little key lights to show where your ignition is. And it doesn't matter how tiny the light conquers the thickest darkness. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we want you to know today, as we talk about this conflict between lightness and darkness, there is really no contest. Light always prevails against darkness. And we are the children of the light. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we're to walk in that light. Now the Bible said here in the book of Revelation, there is a wonder in heaven. That Greek word is semion, and it means a sign, a mark, or a token. That by which a person or a thing is distinguished from others and is known. Praise God. Isn't that so clarifying of what happened when a virgin conceived and a child was brought forth in Bethlehem? It also means a sign, prodigy, portent, in effect an unusual occurrence, transcending the common course of nature. I'll say, what an understatement. Don't you know those shepherds were absolutely blown away when angels declared unto you. Well, number one, before they said anything, when angels appeared, praise God, and then made the declaration, bring you great good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and He'll save His people from their sins. And suddenly there was with them a great heavenly host singing about the glory of God and the glory of His great saving grace and His Savior Jesus Christ. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Praise God. Yet that certainly is transcending the common course of nature. Praise the Lord. It is also, that word means of signs portending remarkable events soon to happen, and of miracles and wonders by which God authenticates the men sent by Him, or by which men prove the cause they are pleading is God's. Did you know every time someone walks forward or comes forward or kneels down to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? Amen. There is an absolute wonder, because that life is changed and that destiny is changed. Praise God. Hallelujah. God changes us from Satan's prisoners into God's servants. What a mighty wonder that is. When God answers prayer, we're seeing a wonder. But wonder of all wonders was when a baby was born in a manger and wise men came to give homage and follow the star, because that star stood out to mark a remarkable event is about to happen. Praise God. The miraculous wonder of Christmas from earth's perspective is that a virgin conceived. And while that is certainly true, heaven's emphasis is on the child. Not the lesser sign of His birth to a virgin, but that God took on flesh and came down to our fallen world to do battle for our eternal souls. Praise God. I'm telling you, the devil was highly agitated, intimidated, incriminated at the birth of this baby. How can all the minions of hell tremble when a baby, a man-child, has been delivered? It's because of an ancient prophecy from the very beginning that said, amen, that you, Satan, will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. His wound is not unto death, is not final, but your wound is unto eternal death, eternal punishment, banishment, and it is final. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, this baby that was born in Bethlehem shook up not just shepherds and wise men, but it shook up hell. Praise God. And rightfully so. Listen to this very carefully. The identity of this woman has been debated by Christians for generations. The woman who brought forth the man-child definitely is not speaking of Mary. Listen to verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there for 1,260 days. This verse can't be applied to Mary. Some say it is congregational Israel of the Old Testament, or spiritual Israel, or the Church of the New Testament, or some believe a mingling of the two. But one thing is for sure: the child, the man-child, is Jesus. And the great red dragon is the devil, who has been seeking to destroy not only him, but his credibility, his testimony, in every successive generation. You know, Christmas is going to bring swirling controversy. It's getting more controversial every year. I remember when there was no controversy around a manger scene in the town square. There's controversy now. The spirit of Antichrist doth already work, the Bible said, of that first generation of Christians. But it seems to be working overtime here in the last days. Make no mistake about it. It's specific. It's Antichrist. It is absolutely directed, not just against God as a generic term or religion in general, but it's specifically against Jesus. Why is that, preacher? It's because the Bible clearly declares there is no other name given unto men under heaven whereby we must be saved, save the name of Jesus. Jesus has the exclusive right to save, because it was His blood that was shed at the cross for men and women's salvation. And His blood alone can prevail. But it did prevail. Praise God. The child clearly is a reference to Jesus Christ, God's Son. By mentioning Jesus' birth and ascension together, John is presenting the life of Christ as a comprehensive work. Verse 5 said, "And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to His throne." Praise God. He left His throne to become a babe in Bethlehem. He returned to take His rightful place after the resurrection. And the Bible said He's seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ did not come to this fallen world to be just a Jewish Messiah and to be King of the Jews, as Pilate commanded to be written and placed upon the cross. The birth of Jesus brought the world's rightful ruler to earth. Jesus isn't just King of the Jews, He's King of kings, Lord of lords, and the rightful ruler over the entire earth. Only Christ can truly shepherd the nations and rule them as God intended. We now live on a planet that is in rebellion, that refuses God's rightful rule by and large. But the birth of this child was the beginning of the end for the devil and his followers. I want you to listen to a verse that qualifies and clarifies this out of Psalm 2, verse 1 through 7. "Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet I have set my King upon my holy hill Zion. And I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In other words, Jesus is Lord. His authority is absolute. Be wise, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That means to embrace this Savior that God has sent, not reject and rebel against him and rail against him. You know, Robert G. Lee ministered a sermon that tens of thousands came to Christ after hearing. It was a warning. It was a warning of a judgment to come if we reject the Savior that God has sent. And the name of it was Payday, Someday. Friend of mine, the Bible said it's appointed once to die, but after this, the judgment. You say, preacher, I thought you were going to preach on Christmas. I am. If you don't understand and appreciate and appropriate faith in Jesus as your Savior, if you don't understand the significance of him coming to Bethlehem so that he could go to the cross, so that he could shed his blood in our behalf, so that he could ascend to heaven and present that blood at the mercy seat in heaven and present his wounds and intercede for us and become an advocate with the Father, so that we would be saved and given grace instead of judged. You can never appreciate truly what Christmas means. Aren't you glad today to be following Christ, if you're a Christian, in the triumph of his victory instead of Satan and the spirit of the age? We do not just believe. We bow to our Lord and our King. The Scripture said that if we suffer with Christ, we will also reign with him. Revelation 2, 26 and 27. And he that overcometh, keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. There again, he's absolute Lord. When he comes, sets up his kingdom, I want to make it very clear that I am on his side. Praise God. And I want to make it clear here and now. As the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, hallelujah, even as I received of my Father. Broken to shivers, amen. This is incredible today, that God is so absolutely clear that in the end, when all the dust settles, Jesus will reign supreme as King of kings and Lord of lords. As sure as Jesus is the man-child, the dragon is Satan. For sure, the birth of Jesus was a declaration of spiritual war. Eugene Peterson notes, this is not the nativity story we grew up with. Jesus' birth excites more than wonder. It excites evil. The birth of Jesus was the launch of God's assault on the power of evil. Praise the Lord. I told you, it made news in the corridors of hell, and it struck fear to the heart of every spiritual being, a fallen spiritual being. Listen to Revelation 12 again, 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I love the absolute authority of Scripture, don't you? There is no room for doubt or speculation. The dragon, the devil, is defeated. Hallelujah. The devil is conquered, and Jesus is Lord. And for sure, we as believers share His triumph and His victory. Listen to Colossians 2, 12 through 15. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. Listen to verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, literally in the cross. I want to read from the Amplified. Listen to this very carefully. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in Him and in it, the cross. Praise God. What Jesus has accomplished because He came as a baby in a manger, He was able to die as a man on the cross in our behalf. A sinless man, so He could offer the perfect blood sacrifice. Hallelujah. So that you, sir, and you, ma'am, listening to this broadcast today, could be saved. And every sin that you've ever committed be forgiven. I know it seems like Satan's prison house of darkness is impregnable and it cannot be, and you could never escape from it. But I got good news for you today. It is not impregnable. Jesus absolutely tore down hell's gates when He rose from the dead. He actually kicked them from the inside out. Hell could not hold our great Redeemer. Praise God. Amen. Listen to me very carefully today. He has penetrated this prison house of darkness, and through His anointing, the captive can be set free. Doesn't matter how great the chains that hold you back today. If you decide in your heart that you want to come to Christ, there is no power of darkness that can hold you. Make no mistake about it. Jesus reigns as absolute King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's not a devil in hell that doesn't believe that. They know. They cannot deny. They can lie about a lot of things. Satan is a liar, the Scripture said, and the father of lies. But there's one thing he cannot deny, and that is that Jesus conquered him in our behalf at the cross, and it was sealed and consummated at the resurrection. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's victory in Jesus. If you want to be saved today, there is no power in the minions of hell that can hold you back. Satan has to persuade you that you can't be free. God has sent His Son to call you forth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Listen to me today. If you're a Christian listening to this broadcast, there's victory in Jesus. Amen. The birth of this child, amen, brought a great, great controversy to this earth. The powers of darkness and the light of God have been in conflict. Light always wins this conflict. Take your stand. Be bold in your testimony. This Christmas, understand that we're in a great battle, but we're in it to win it. Praise God. And we're in it to plunder hell and populate heaven. I believe in the power of this gospel. God's ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, men might be saved. And if you today have given your heart to Jesus Christ and you have come to Him, listen, today, your life and your destiny has just changed. If you haven't yet done that, if you haven't done it, would you just pray right now? Say, Lord Jesus, I understand now that there's a battle, and the battle is really for my soul. Satan's already been defeated from your perspective. He needs to be defeated here. in this fallen world, and He will be. For I receive you today as my Savior. I renounce the works of darkness, and I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. Oh, we love you today. Why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.